Hello and welcome to the Direct Line Good Karma podcast. I'm Dr. Gary Wood, social psychologist and head of karma. And today we're going to take a closer look at the concept of karma, good or bad. It's the principle that we should, you know, we reap what we sow and what goes around comes around. It's like a reward scheme for life. Now, I say we because I'm not going to do this alone. My co-host has spent a fair amount of his life on the road, touring a mammoth list of stand-up shows. As well as a comedian, he's a writer, a podcaster, a blogger, the creative force together with Stuart Lee of such shows as Fist of Fun, This Morning with Richard, Not Judy. Of course, it's Richard Herring.
So, hello.
Hello there, Richard.
Nice to be here.
Very nice to have you.
Thank you.
So, we're going to be talking about karma.
Yes.
So, now, it's interesting because you're a driver.
Yes.
And I've passed my test, but I've never driven. Okay. I'm an avid pedestrian. And
you thought, I've done it, I've done the test.
Yeah.
I've passed the exam. I don't want to ruin it by going out on the road.
Well, what happened?
Messing up.
No, I've got a very, very short attention span.
Okay.
And I like to read, and you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, you can do that soon in the autonomous cars. But yeah, not
yeah,
yet.
That would be good for me.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I did that the whole Pass Plus thing.
Yes.
And I was at this, I did the extra roundabout training.
Right.
And this idiot decides to position himself as though he was turning to the right.
Yeah.
And he indicates right. And the instructor says, watch him, he's going to go left.
Yeah.
I went, no, right. He went, no, left. And he did. And I just thought, I don't stand a chance there.
Yeah, it's difficult. And I learned to drive when I was about 26. I left it for ages and then spent so much on driving lessons that I then couldn't afford to buy a car. I made a character up of during Fist of Fun of a driving instructor who was based on my driving instructor who just kept on making me have lessons and lessons. And then I had him rolling around in money and having ridiculous, unnecessary lessons, which is what I got. So I was a very good driver.
Yeah.
Then I didn't drive for 10 years, and then I was a terrible driver. So I didn't really own a car for about another maybe 10 years after I passed my test. So it was I almost had to relearn again. And then I went for an automatic car because I was too scared to go back to gears, even though I'd learnt. So it's similar. Maybe you will come round and get a car. It's very helpful having a car, and it's good having a car. And for my job, it's very, very useful to have a car.
Yeah, because you must spend an enormous time on the road.
Yeah, there is a lot of, sort of third of my year is touring. And so, I'm either driving or being driven if I've got a tour manager. So it's a combination of two. If it's a nearby gig, I often do it on my own. But if I'm going a long way, as I've got older, I find it too hard to do all the driving and do the shows properly because you get so tired. Because, there's a lot of concentration involved in driving properly. But yeah, so it's an interesting thing though. Yeah, it's an interesting about the. I mean, you're the head of Karma, CARMA. That's
it's the C. It's, yeah, Karma with the C.
The C.
Yeah.
So you're only interested in Karma when it's about cars. You're not interested in any life Karma beyond that.
Life Karma as well.
I mean,
the reason.
But you're not an expert in that. You're just an expert in the Karma that comes from driving a car.
Well, expert's probably stretching a bit,
yeah.
But I'm.
It's not a thing, is it? That's
in
not...
my professional job, I do a lot of confidence building.
Yeah.
And I use the idea of karma in that, but karma with a K.
Yeah.
And the idea is that if you focus on boosting somebody else's confidence,
yeah,
your confidence boosts automatically.
So but also, it's karma works mathematically, if not individually. So like if the idea that if you do good things will happen to you sort of averages out, that should be the case. If more people do nice things to people, more nice things will happen to you if everyone is nice. So I don't believe like in the religious idea that if you're good, you'll definitely get good in return, because that clearly isn't true. Good, bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to lots of bad people, as we're seeing a lot at the moment in the world. But I think that idea of, if you behave nicely and politely, I'm very interested in politeness, which I think a lot of this car stuff is about, really.
Well, the idea of karma, the word just literally means action.
Yeah.
So we've kind of given it this kind of mystical talking about the universe, but it actually just means that which I don't know which Newton's law it is. It's that one, the equal and opposite reaction one.
Yeah.
It just means that you do stuff and then stuff happens.
But if people are aggressive on the road, then you become aggressive on the road, and then you're aggressive in the next encounter, and that makes someone aggressive. If people are polite, I've lived in London most of my driving life, but I've just moved out to the Hertfordshire now, so I live in a little village now. And you suddenly realise how when you're driving down narrow country lanes, everyone stops and reverses.
Oh,
nearly everyone. We might talk about that in another podcast. I think there's my story where they don't. But people are much more polite, and that makes the driving experience much more enjoyable. And then you don't have that road rage. Or I never had road rage, but I've been road miffed, I think.
One and, step down.
Yeah, maybe road quite annoyed. But just the minute someone's polite to you and lets you through, that puts you in a good mood, and you maybe let the next person through. So I think that certainly sort of works as an idea.
Do people indicate in the country? Because they don't in the cities and the towns.
A little bit more, yeah. A little bit more than they do in the city. But not, you know, that's... You have, as a driver, you have all these kind of bugbears of the things that people do that are annoying. So, yeah, people not indicating on roundabouts I find especially annoying.
But yes, that's my pet hate. It sounds a bit sad, but I was out last Sunday with a clipboard checking, and only one in five people now indicate at roundabouts.
Yeah, or they indicate wrong. It's just saying, you know, people do...
Oh, yeah, any old one, yeah.
But, you know, just if you know that they're going round... Obviously, as you said, you can't trust someone's indication necessarily, but it's helpful.
You just can't trust them at all
sometimes.
No,
it's a helpful hint to get people going. But, yeah, you know, I think it's... If you're a good user... I've been a good and a bad road user in my life. When I first got a car... I bought a brand new car. I'd done a sitcom and made some money and written this sitcom. And so the first car I actually owned was a brand new car. And so I was very excited about that. But I was quite nervous about driving. And I had a prang in a supermarket car park.
Oh.
So I was reversing out and I caught this other car. And I looked at the car.
It was your fault.
It was absolutely, there's no doubt it was my fault because no one else was in the other car. So I'd parked a bit badly, then pulled out and just misjudged it pulling out. So my front wheel archer just caught the back of the other car.
Right.
I was flustered and I got out and looked in and thought, oh, I've really screwed up my car. There was a big dent in my car and the wheel arch was a bit broken. And I looked at the other car and I thought it was all right. But I was also just really embarrassed. I thought nothing had happened to the other car. And I thought it was such a low impact thing. I kind of got back in the car just feeling really humiliated and embarrassed. But, you know, I paid up and so no one cared. But now I was talking to someone, a friend of mine, who said they were at home and their car had been damaged just outside their house. And it looked like a low loader had hit it or something. And his next door neighbour had a low loader, but... there was CCTV footage from, you know, across the street.
Oh, no.
And so the guy had gone to this neighbour and said, did you know anything about this? He said, oh, no, that's terrible. How could anyone do this? This is awful. And then they had footage of him hitting it, coming back, looking at it, calling his wife over, them looking to see if they'd been spotted, because everyone was in the back garden at the time. And then obviously his wife polished the car.
Which always helps.
In hope to get it away. And then went away. So the next day the guy went to him and said, is there anything you want to tell me? He said, no, I don't think so. He said, come with me. And then he connected his phone up to the big screen TV. So even at this stage, the guy was still trying to deny it until it was presented with the evidence. So, you know, that's incredibly embarrassing. It's much better to admit.
Just own up, yeah.
Because he ended up paying for it anyway, but also... You know, that's his next door neighbour now that you can't trust that person.
No.
And so it's incredibly embarrassing to go that far, even if the next day I've gone, look, I'm really sorry, I was flustered. You know, because everyone makes mistakes and everyone has that. You know, I think it's natural, isn't it, to want to run away from a minor infraction like that and get away with it if you can.
I think also it puts us into a state of stress, and it's not something we normally have. You know, we don't prank, well, hopefully don't prank somebody's car every day.
No.
So it's almost like that fight or flight thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You think, what am I going to do? I'm going to front up. But you also sometimes there's the freeze option where you don't quite know what
yeah,
to do.
I
so you've got to.
True.
So I love the idea of the wife coming out polishing
yeah,
it, you know, doily,
yeah.
Ornament.
But, you know, I suppose you think you're going to get away with something like that if you get away with it. But there's always the chance you get discovered down the line. It's just, not. I think something so small as well, it's such a crazy risk to take because you go, okay, look, all that's going to happen is I'm going to have to pay out a few. But it's incredibly annoying when it happens to you the other way around. I've had my wing mirror knocked off by someone and they haven't stopped. And, you know, you have to take the time to take the car into the garage and pay for it. And, you know, it's not enough money. You think, is this worth claiming on my insurance? No, it's not.
Yep.
So, you know, is that annoyance that you create to the other person is so great. And you know, if it's happened to you, you know it's a horrible thing to happen to you. So, again, it's sort of strange that that people aren't a little bit more thoughtful about this sort of stuff. But I think that, you know, I think that is definitely the the lesson is that you know...
Own up as soon as you can.
Own up if stuff's happened and good things will happen to you, bad things will happen to you. I think that's just over the course of your life. You'll get some luck, you'll get some bad luck. And hopefully it balances up. But I think if you are, if you're a positive person and you own up to stuff, I think, that will hopefully encourage other people to do it, and therefore you won't get ripped off so much, because it's... I know it's loads of little things like that. I had someone drove into the wall of my house on Christmas Eve. It was either a drunk driver or Father Christmas. and drove off.
Could have been both.
Could have been both. I mean, it almost certainly would be a drunk driver is Father Christmas. I think he's allowed
that
to drink
sherry
and
mince pies.
If it's a magic sleigh, you're allowed to drink and drive. But otherwise not. But yeah, so we just had it fixed about 6 months later, and at some expense. And again, you kind of think it's just so annoying that a person didn't even think to knock on the door, put a note through, or say, "At least I'm sorry. I'm not going to tell you who I am, but I'm sorry."
Yes, it's nice to get a note. In terms of driving, would you say you're a kind of? I mean, I can imagine. I mean, I told you I don't drive, but yeah. I could imagine I'd be quite a curmudgeonly driver because I'm very patient.
Yeah.
But if people are just taking the mick, I've just got no patience.
I get annoyed with people. I mean, I am super patient. My wife is not a patient person and gets very aggravated by everything.
I wonder why.
And I, especially me. And I'm a very bad passenger, so that doesn't help in that driving situation. But yeah, and I'm quite patient with people. But then, just things start to annoy you. The thing that really annoys me, I mean, there's lots of things that annoy drivers. The thing that really annoys me is people who hog the centre lane of the motorway. Yeah. And then you discuss it. I have had this discussion online on social media with loads of people, and people vociferously defending their right to be in the centre lane and why it's safer to be in the centre lane. Because, again, I think people think about driving only from their own perspective. And I think you get behind that wheel and all you're thinking is, well, this is safer for me. You're not thinking about the bigger picture. It's obviously the law that you're meant to be, the two outer lanes are for overtaking. So when there's room, you're meant to be in the first lane. It's not a slow lane. It's the other two lanes are overtaking lanes. So they're saying, but every time I have to drive in and out, every time I want to go, so that's more... there's more manoeuvres going on because I'm going into the lane, coming out of the lane. But actually, you're forcing everyone behind you either to slow down or to have to do a dangerous manoeuvre to overtake you. And also, of course, lots of people are tempted to undertake you if you're in the centre lane and they're in the correct lane. So
it reminds me of a while ago. There was some research done on, people bobbing and weaving in between. Oh, look, there's a spot. And thinking they're going to get there quicker. And they did a model and found out you actually get there slower if you do all that. So if everybody just did exactly as they're supposed to do, everybody would get there
sooner.
Well,
if everyone kept over, that's the thing. If everyone keeps over in the first lane and then you overtake when you need to, then there's plenty of room for people to overtake. There's plenty of room for people to overtake those people. And so it's just that you'll drive behind someone for like miles and miles and you're going faster than them, or you want to go faster than them. And then it's just that frustrates me. And there's not much you can do to let them know. I mean, I think we need some sort of system where cars can communicate with each other. It would be a terrible thing if they could, I think. But if you could go, can you please just get over? Because a beep of a horn doesn't do it.
You never know what it means. What we really need, you write some kind of system, is some kind of code.
Yeah.
Something like a highway code that people can follow.
It would be a great idea. But
it
would be nice if you could. They must be able to do that somehow, that the cars can communicate with each other. It doesn't even have to be the people now. The car could say, excuse me, you're driving in the wrong lane.
So it's a very polite car. It wouldn't be a sweary car.
And could you please pull over? But that's, I remember one time driving back late, I had that exact thing where I was driving behind a guy and he was just in the centre lane and I wanted to overtake him. And I kind of managed to communicate with him via indicators. He was looking at me and I pressed my indicator and then he pressed his indicator to show that I should go round him into the fast lane. But that, again, he's making me make an unnecessary manoeuvre at speed. And if he just, literally an empty motorway. So you sort of think, well, fair enough, it's an empty motorway. I could go in the fast lane. But also if it's an empty motorway, he's in the first lane, I can overtake him and carry on. So that's the thing that annoys me. So that gets my goat and that makes me quite cross.
I'm quite interested by that psychic semaphore thing that drivers do. So as a pedestrian, when drivers are often saying, oh, you can cross now. And I can see it's not safe.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot to me. So how are you with pedestrians?
Other road users, cyclists, and there's lots of cyclists around where I live now, and that's, you know, some narrow lanes, and it's sort of annoying, but they obviously have absolutely every right to be there. I've been a cyclist myself as well, but it makes it more difficult. It's just, I think when pedestrians can be so stupid, and yes, I've noticed there's
a
lot, especially like in city centres late at night. You know, you'll be driving through the city centre, everyone's drunk, and they're literally just walking the road without looking. And it's sort of terrifying, and sometimes wearing all black and you can't see them at all. Anyway, you know, people are just so unaware of what they look like, where they are. It's a thing that terrifies me so much, the idea of knocking someone over. I did nearly, in Edinburgh last year, I was turning right into the road we were living in. And I kind of noticed, you know, that I had a spot. So I kind of slightly sped up to turn. And as I turned, there was a guy halfway across the road. But he'd started crossing without looking to see that I was coming. So I had to brake. And luckily, and thank God I didn't hit him. It's been a great start to the Edinburgh Fringe. But, you know, he kind of went, look where you're going. And I sort of went, yeah. that's a good tip for a pedestrian who is crossing the road. Because obviously the pedestrians are the ones who are going to get come off worse in that situation. Even if I just, you know, I would literally stop right by him. He sort of went down.
Coward.
Well, he sort of cowered and nearly went back. So I was, you know, within inches of him, and it was only my incredibly fantastic driving skills that prevented
him. Of course.
It's you know, I think that's the scary thing, that you've got to be so in control. And I think that's the problem with a lot of drivers start to think, oh, you know, this is, you know, I'm in control, and this is easy. And that's, you see all these people using their phones as they're driving, you know, and you kind of think, this is insane. There's been some horror stories of that, and I've got a friend who lost a brother through a lorry driver checking his texts and stuff. So, you know, those are things that are, you know, where the pedestrian is in the right and the drivers have to be very careful. But I think, again, that's I think you've got to realise, it's what my driving instructor always genuinely said to me, and I used it in the sketch we did about, you know, the car is a very dangerous weapon. I'd say it's more dangerous than the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. You're behind this massive chunk of metal.
Yeah.
Even if it's going 20 miles an hour, that's fast. It feels like nothing to you in the car.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's obeying all those things. You know, you get annoyed by all those 20-mile restrictions and 30-mile restrictions. But, you know, you'd be very glad to not have broken them if anything happened. So, yeah, so all these things are really important to think about. I suppose that's the element. If we're all a little bit safer, then everyone's a bit safer.
It's this general courtesy. I've noticed that even when I'm crossing on a zebra crossing, the motorists are there. And if I don't do the little wave, I mean, I'm supposed to be able to cross. I've got to do that little wave.
Yeah.
And there's revving up and there's
grimacing. It's the little wave and the little run you're meant to do as well. So,
your little run, yeah.
So, yeah, I've been annoyed by pedestrians who, and, you know, as a driver, I've been in a position where, you know, someone comes to the crossing at the very last minute. It was the green man, red man, pelican crossing. And they've just stepped on as it's over, really.
And then
slow down.
Yes.
As if to say, this is my right of way. And that's annoying because you go, look, it's stupid from your point of view, because I've done it in Shepherd's Bush, where I used to live in a big, that Shepherd's Bush green, massive, loads of cars going by. And if you saunter across there and the lights are green, someone's going to knock you over. To do that is very stupid and annoying. So people have these power plays between each other, pedestrians to cars, cars to pedestrians, everyone hates the cyclists apart from the cyclists, and it's sort of this weird status thing that you're all trying to get to. And again, I think it just creates it escalates, doesn't it? Because someone annoys you, and then you get annoyed, and then I just think that the difference would do with driving and being a pedestrian, really, is if you get annoyed by something, then you know, you become less efficient as a driver. You're still thinking about that thing that just happened. Or you're angry, and so you're driving angrily. It's you can have a row with your wife, but if you have a row with if you get into a problem on the road, you know, and you're driving aggressively, then there's serious consequences.
I mean, once the adrenaline goes up, everything then becomes a threat, doesn't it? Yeah. So everything, then he's a personal slight. Because we see cars as like our personal space.
Yeah.
So you've probably seen the people at the traffic lights putting the makeup on and picking the nose. It's like, it's almost that anything that encroaches on our space becomes an added annoyance.
It does. And I think that's interesting about cars is they just become this space where you think you're invisible. And you sort of are invisible.
Mm.
You become the car rather than the person. I think that's the difference. It's sort of like the early stages of social media in a way, isn't it? Because inside the car, you're no longer recognisable as the individual you. You're just a person in a car. And so you can start behaving as you can online as an aggressive bully or as, you know, be rude or thinking of yourself because you're sort of not seeing each other. You're only seeing the car. You're not seeing the person unless you're literally right behind them and looking them in the mirror. You don't really notice it so much. So that's why people feel they can pick their nose and eat it in a car because they feel they're...
Well, I didn't mention eat it.
They're sort of invisible in this glass surrounding.
It is. It's true. The stuff you see at traffic lights is just... Okay, So... What's the worst thing that someone could do on the road to you? Apart from crash into you. But we're talking about a discourtesy.
Yeah. I mean, I think the centre lane thing is my big problem. I think anyone that's just driving aggressively. So if you're being tailgated, and often I think people are being tailgated because of that centre lane thing that it wants them to pull over and they haven't pulled over. But anyone who's just driving in that, you know, cutting you up or tailgating you or just behaving inconsiderately. So I think it's that thing where I suppose the real example of it is like you're on a long queue to a slip road and you know it's a mile to the slip road and the cars can still be driving past and people drive past right to the end and then try and cut in.
Yeah,
And that's awful because you kind of think, look, the rest of us have places to go as well. We're all in cars.
Yes, we're all important.
There's no way of indicating that you have some more emergency thing than other people. Maybe if you're in the middle of a massive emergency, it's fair enough. And so you get into that awful situation where you're trying to drive bumper to bumper with the car in front of you, not to let that guy come in. You know, so you're really risky. You're creating a dangerous situation by your desire to keep that guy out. So I think that annoys me. Those guys who think. And women, if guys does not include women, but I think they've always been men as far as I can remember.
I think women are probably slightly safer drivers than men.
Well, I think that's the statistics will bear that out. Yeah. Because I think they're probably not quite as driven by that kind of hormonal testosterone
thing rage
that men can get behind the behind the wheel. But certainly, it's. I'll always joke to my wife if I see a bad driver, a woman driver, and then we'll always drive past that, and it'll always be a man. So, you know, that's the thing. I'm inverted commas because I always know it will be a man. So I go, typically it'll be a woman driver and it's always a man. So, you know, there's plenty of both going on, it has to be said. But yeah, so I think it's just those little things because obviously like big things tend to be accidents or tend to be stupidity and the crashes and that sort of thing are sort of beyond...
Mm.
You know, usually beyond control unless they're through some absolute idiocy. But it's those little things where you're just thinking, look, we're all got to get somewhere and you're making it harder for everyone else and you're just annoying everyone else. You're making it more likely for something to go wrong. If we have a bump on the slip road, then it's going to be even longer before
it's true, yeah.
So let's just, it's that taking it in turns to come in the two lanes of traffic going to one lane of traffic. Some people trying to push through that and you go, you're literally not going to save any time at all on this. You're delaying us, but also look in front of you. These cars are moving so slowly. We might as well just take our time and hope we pick it up later on in the drive. But yeah.
So that 20-second sense of satisfaction really isn't worth it at all.
It isn't.
Well, we've come just about to the end of this episode of the Direct Line's Good Karma podcast. So whatever platform you're listening to, don't forget to like and subscribe. And I'd like to thank my co-host, Richard Herring, for being with us today.
It's been delightful.
I've been Gary Wood, it says here, and apparently I still will be when we come back for the next episode.
You're the head of karma.
I'm the head of karma.
It's a made-up position.
I give good karma.